Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Welcome to the Along Came a Writer Network. Opinions expressed in our shows do not necessarily reflect those of the network. Welcome to Chat Noir, Mystery and Suspense. I'm Linda Kozar, and I welcome you to the show today. My guest is Danny Mell, and he is a graphic artist and art director with 10 years of experience working in graphic design firms, ad agencies, and the in-house department of a world-renowned ministry. In addition to his day job, he also does freelance projects, including book covers. And he has a great new website, Danny Mell Covers. That's M-E-H-L. So it's www.dannymehlcovers.com. And I speak from personal experience. I'm traditionally published, but I also indie publish some books as well. And I have a mystery series that Danny's created all the covers for, and I only have him do the new books. So the covers all have this sort of continuity, and they're wonderful. So continuing on with some information about Danny, he's won multiple awards and had work featured in major publications, including Graphis, Addies, AGIA Design Shows, and Logo Lounge. And he likes to work closely with clients to get to the root of the problem they're trying to solve, and defining what we truly need to say and who we need to say it to. So I welcome you to the show, Danny. Thanks for being here.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Well, I like to ask all of my guests how they got started. And I know, let's get up front with this. Your mom is an award-winning mystery and suspense author, and she writes other things too.
Yeah.
Nancy Mell. And yes. She's a great lady. I love her so much. And when I found out that that you were designing book covers, I decided to give you a try. And that was the best thing that I ever did with my books.
Yeah.
So tell us how you got started.
I've always been into art and been artistic. My grandma was a painter, and so I think I kind of inherited some of her artistic bent. And ever since I was a kid, I've drawn and painted, and my parents really encouraged me, in that. Even though I drew all over our walls as a kid, they still kept encouraging me.
Have you ever painted something that's hanging in your parents' house or?
Originally, when I was younger, I mostly like painted and drew, and I've got a lot of old paintings from that I did when I was a kid that I'm still trying to figure out what to do with them. They're stored in a basement and stuff, but yeah, my parents have some up still on their walls. They have one in their living room, and I haven't painted in a long time since kind of focusing more on graphic design, but they still have a few of mine hanging up in their house.
That's most just refrigerator artists, but you went beyond that.
What was that?
Kids are just refrigerator artists. All their artwork is displayed on the refrigerator gallery.
Oh yeah. 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 No, they really encouraged me and got me, canvases and paint brush sets and stuff. So yeah, I was painting on canvases and things like that pretty early. And that may have just been to keep me from drawing on the walls, but which I did a lot of. But no, they that was good. And so yeah, I I've always been into art, and then when I started college, I've been very interested in all types of art, writing included, but I decided to major in film, and then did that for about a year and a half, and decided and to switch over to graphic design. And it's kind of a fluke. Just I was actually in college, and they I'd missed a payment somewhere, and they unenrolled me. And then I was kind of faced with, well, do I want to mess with all this, or would I like to just move back to my hometown and enroll in the college there and maybe do something different? And so I decided to do that, and that worked out really well. It was a great mistake to happen, because I very much enjoy what I do, and so I've
It's funny.
been.
There are only happy mistakes with God.
Oh
Things
yeah.
happen, but they don't. They haven't really just happened. There's a
Oh
design back.
yeah. Yeah,
Okay.
absolutely. That was definitely a happy mistake. So,
Okay. So
yeah,
you
I've
went to
been
school.
doing it ever since.
Okay, and then you. So you found your muse. You found the thing that you love. I mean, I'm assuming
Yeah.
that you love graphic design and art.
Yeah,
So, what happened then? Did you so you did you intern? Oh yes, I see that
yeah.
you.
I went to college, and it was very good. They had a great graphic design program, learned a lot there, and then eventually got an internship at a small kind of startup ad agency in town, and did that for maybe about a year and a half or so. I interned there while I was in school, and then that turned into a job, and then eventually I decided to leave there and go try to find something else that I thought might give me some additional experience and opportunities. And so I worked at a small design firm after that, and then I was there for a while, went to a bigger ad agency in town, so that was kind of a whole different kind of experience, getting more into the advertising and conceptual idea phase of things, which is something that I try to bring into the book covers too, that I do, is to not just make something that looks good, but there's an idea or a concept there, and that's usually where I start from. And I think that's been one of the really beneficial things about having an advertising background, is that that focus on the big idea is something that I can also bring into something that's usually a little more of a designed focus medium, like book covers. So I've did that, and then from there I decided to take an opportunity to go work at a ministry in St. Louis. It's actually a Joyce Meyer Ministries, which is pretty well known, and took an opportunity to be a graphic designer there. And so there's with them, there is, as far as book covers go, there's plenty of opportunities to design book covers for Joyce Meyer, and covers of teaching CDs and things like that.
Doesn't she write it? She writes a gazillion books. I mean, if you go to her website, she's got a lot of them. So I would assume you would have been
Yeah.
pretty busy.
Yeah. It's a definitely a different type of book than like maybe the cozy mysteries or novels, but it was very much some of the same aims that you have with novels or more literary works, where you're just trying to draw a reader in to read more.
As a designer, I know there are bread and butter jobs, where you do ads, and there are ads for things that aren't very exciting, but it's bread and butter.
Yeah.
But then the creative stuff, and now that's where you really get to shine. And I know that's probably what you enjoy doing the most. So what do you do now? So now you're at a startup ad agency.
No, I'm at it's a little larger ad agency. It'd still probably be considered kind of a medium size, but really top-notch ad agency here in St. Louis. they're actually connected to a larger, basically worldwide agency network where we're separate, but you still get to see what's going on kind of all around the world. In as far as, you know, how people are approaching advertising and some of the great work that's coming out of different countries even and things. So it's been a great fit for me and again, kind of getting a variety of approaches that you may not get if you just, you know, stayed in one place forever. You know, I've definitely gotten to move around and seen how different places approach different creative problems and come up with ideas.
Boy, I hear this kind of stuff all the time because my youngest daughter works for an ad agency in Dallas, and she's a brand manager. So I hear this. Now tell us about your awards. That's a pretty big deal.
That's kind of my profession is definitely kind of ripe with awards. I was joking with somebody a while back that, you know, it is, you know, how awful it is that there's actually people out there that don't get awards for doing their job. You know, because we seem to just have all these award shows and award books and things that you just get used to it. But seriously though, it's the awards have definitely been a good way to see, you know, how your work measures up to other professionals in your industry, and it's judged by professionals in the industry, so that's nice. Some of the awards I've won, there's some local shows here in St. Louis. We've got the Addies, which is, you know, more advertising focused, and then AIGA show is another big one, which is more of the graphic design community and graphic design firms, and I've had work in both. That's always kind of exciting to be able to kind of come together with your local community and know the people that are in the show and know, be able to, you know, go to an actual show and stuff. Whereas sometimes that's not always possible with some more national or international shows, but I've also had some work featured in some international, awards and publications. You know, you mentioned Graphis, which is a publication. It's pretty well known that takes work from all over the world. So that's a neat opportunity to see like how your work stacks up to people from other countries and things. And so then been some others too.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big deal. It is, and it's very affirming. And you know, we writers like that too. Right.
It makes you feel good. For sure.
So let's talk about book covers. Okay, which book cover was your first design? I know, you know, I interviewed you on Suspense Sisters blog as well, and you said that it was for your mom and it wasn't your favorite. Well, tell us what you learned from that and what you did from that point on.
I think like the very first one I did was for her, and it was, you know, one of her very early, maybe even very first books. I don't even think I'd gone to school yet. It was just, you know, I hadn't really decided on graphic design as a career yet at that point. And you learn a lot, you know, you learn a lot about, you know, how to do things right and how to, whether it's just the style, you know, the illustration style or whatever, or the layout or even the concept, you know, it wasn't great. I try to keep it hidden, I certainly learn, you know, from there. Like sometimes I think people kind of don't understand the purpose of the cover and how to draw people into a story, how to not just like make a visual representation of the story on the cover, but to do something that kind of either teases or just draws them in to want to learn more about it. Maybe they pick it up and read the back cover, and then that draws them in, you know. So even from whether it's just a visual design standpoint or a conceptual point, I definitely feel like I've learned a lot since then. And it's interesting to go back and compare my work now to when I first started out, for sure.
Well, you do fiction and nonfiction covers now, but do you feel that you need to get a feel for the author or the genre or both?
Definitely both. I mean, everything, you know, when you begin a process for a project like a book cover, you know, as much information as you can get is good. So, you know, I'm usually trying to get a feel for, you know, the author and their brand and where they're wanting to be in kind of the marketplace and the feel they're trying to convey, you know, as well as like, you know, the genre they're in. It's definitely, you're always trying to kind of stand out from your competition and be memorable in that sense. But then at the same time, there's something to be said for having a cover that lets people know kind of what genre this book is in. So that's always kind of a balancing act. So, you know, there's that. And then obviously the story itself is very important too.
I'm sorry. I know I've gotten so many compliments on my series, you know, and all the covers you've done. But outside of my own, which are my favorite, I love Bumping Off Binky, the one you did for your mom.
That's one of my favorites too.
Yeah, it just embodies the quirk, and like, who doesn't want to see a clown go down? I don't know.
yeah, sure. There you go.
Yeah, it's just, it's so colorful and it's so cozy. I for cozy mysteries, you know, when you asked me about designing the first cover, I didn't even know there were going to be more covers at first, and neither did you. But I wanted to do something more pastel and colorful and bright and fun, and not go the route of a lot of mysteries, which are, you know, darker, more gothic covers. I wanted something bright, and you really fulfilled that. The colors are just gorgeous, and people can go to your website and check out all these covers.
They're all on there.
Apart from other types of books that you've noticed so far.
I'm sorry, I missed the first part of that. What kind of
What sets a cozy mystery apart from, say, other genres, if you're doing a cover?
From your from your books?
And your mom's, and their cozy mystery authors you've done as well.
Well, you know, I think and using, you know, your series as an example, like I said, it's kind of the genre, you know, it's important to kind of understand that genre, because that comes with a particular audience, and to really not just look at a bunch of other books in that genre and try to copy some sort of, you know, mishmash of that style, but to understand kind of why maybe particular styles work in that particular, for that particular audience. And so, kind of your covers as an example, and it works for my mom's as well, is you know, I like the idea of, you know, with the cozy mystery, you know, it's not like you said, you're not necessarily wanting to go dark, and you know, there's that cozy aspect to it. So you know, I thought the kind of this idea of kind of making something that has, you know, like a sinister crime in it, but then there's also this cozy, warm, you know, like approachable feel to it as well, was an interesting balance. And I think, you know, different cozy mysteries can go, you know, further to one side of the spectrum than the other, depending on the particular book and the particular author. But, you know, I think that I'm trying to get at why some covers look the way they do, so that I can figure out a way to address that, but do something different. And so, You know, with your covers, you know, we came up with this band that goes across the image, which is a very I think particular branding element that we bring into all those covers to kind of tie them together and make them stand out. And then, you know, the illustration style, there's a lot of ways you can go with the style of the illustration. So, you know, you may have, I mean, there's more than just, you know, pencil sketches and computer sketches and watercolor and stuff. There's all kinds of styles that you can go with. And you know, I wanted to pick something kind of colorful and bright, you know, as we had talked about, and would tie all those books together and also introduce, you know, a good opportunity for you know, what I would consider to be just pleasing design aesthetically, which I think that definitely gives us the opportunity to do. You'll notice that there's, you know, I bring certain patterns into the background and stuff that work well as like a background pattern, but it's also part of the illustration and kind of ties everything together. So yeah, it's usually just trying to find that way to bring a cohesiveness and a brand look to things, but then also address each book separately and what that book is about, you know, and how to show that best in illustration.
Yeah, and the branding aspect is very important because and indie authors don't all realize this, that, you know, if you're going to have a series, people need to be able to look at it and say, oh, this is the next one in the series, because it's got, you know, like I've got that band across the middle.
Yeah,
they recognize it. They're like, oh yeah, that's another one in the series. So authors need to realize that if they are indie publishing books, that they really should do some sort of branding and really think about what they're doing. So my next question, and this is something that is disputed, I guess, in, you know, with magazines and books, but why is green a no-no? Because, you know, I've read a lot about it, because I guess one of the indie covers I was designing was green, and I started reading about it, and green is definitely a no-no. Magazines don't sell with, you never see a magazine with green on it. And with the exception of kids' books, you don't see a whole lot of green covers. Have you ever heard of that?
No, not really. I mean, I've definitely heard things like that, where somebody, you know, says, you know, you can't use this color, it won't, you know, work or you know, sell or whatever. And you know, I definitely want to pay attention to something if it's a definite fact. But sometimes it seems like some of those things can be more like, you know, marketing people do some study and come up with something, but you know, it's, if you've got a good designer, they're gonna pick up on if something just doesn't feel quite right, or you know, has some sort of a negative connotation to it, or if something is drawing you in, or if it's kind of pushing you away. You know, I've heard that with purple too, but I think, you know, when it's used correctly and tastefully, then it's, you know, it's more how it's used than a particular color that's going to either not sell your book or sell your book, you know. So yeah, I haven't really heard that though.
Well, I know as a designer, you can look at a cover and say, okay, that one works for me. But you know what, even an average reader can look at a cover and say, oh, that doesn't interest me. And that's what you're going for, is attracting that reader. So
yeah.
You have to look at it and say, wow, I want that book. Like you mentioned your favorite, one of your favorite covers, As a Million Little Pieces by James Fry. What stood out on that cover for you?
You know, I think it's I think one of the most interesting, some of the most interesting covers for me. They just create some kind of a sense of mystery, or some kind of a, they engage you by you wanting to know what that's about. Like if you can get that reaction, from a potential reader to where they're like, what's that about? I want to know more, then that's great. That's what you want. You want them to draw in and then learn more. And so, and that's one big mistake I think a lot of people can make, is thinking that their cover needs to be very clear, or, you know, that it can't, they're afraid something's going to become confusing or something. And so like that cover, for example, I've never read the book. I know there's like apparently some controversy over the book. Like the guy said it was his life story and it wound up, it wasn't, but despite all that, just the cover itself, like, I know that it had to do with, you know, drug addiction or something. And like, you know, the cover, it just shows his hand with you know, a bunch of like what looks like they could be little beads from inside a capsule or something, all covering the hand, just kind of creating this texture on this hand. It's just kind of, you know, it's not really, you know, there's not a bunch of dark effects or anything on the hand. It's just this picture of this hand against this blue background, and just, you know, the title in a very plain, nondescript font. It says, you know, was a tiny million tiny pieces, or I forget what the title was, but
the title was the book initially, you know, more than this drug addiction story, because it was really fascinating, you know. Visually fascinating. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we are running out of time.
Oh, okay.
So I like to do a little lightning round with you before we go. But before we do that, I just want to make sure, in case we go long, that people know your website is www.dannymehl.com. That's DannyMehl. And if you want to look at the cover website, the book covers, that's DannyMehlCovers.com. And I hope you'll go and check those out and contact him. Do you want to leave your email? Or I think you have contact information on the cover website.
Yeah, so there's an email, and there's contact forms on both sites. So either way.
Fantastic. Okay, so now we're going to start our lightning. This is mystery and suspense, so I have to use
that's a little scary.
Like that. Okay. Stranger, do you watch Netflix, first of all?
What was that?
Do you watch Netflix before I ask you this question?
No, we don't have Netflix. We have Hulu, so
okay. So I'll scratch that question. I was gonna say Stranger Things or Black Mirror, but that's out. Okay,
yeah.
So Valentine's Day is coming up. So do you do candy, flowers, or both?
Usually I do flowers. My wife likes candy, but sometimes she just likes a little bit of candy. Like, so I might do flowers and then just something like smaller and extra nice, you know, as opposed to like the giant, you know, pound of candy, you know, and a giant heart or something. So yeah, usually flowers are what I go to.
I'm so glad my husband never gave me a giant teddy bear or anything. That's the worst.
Yeah, I did get her a giant monkey when we not long after we were first married, but yeah, that's in a closet somewhere. And so yeah, I've stayed away from giant stuffed animals since then.
Anything. Okay. New father quiz. Would you rather change a diaper or change the sheets on the bed?
I'd probably go ahead and take the diaper. Just, you know, I've gotten pretty good and quick at that. So the sheets on the bed, you have to go get them, you know, out of the dryer or the, you know, whatever, and get all the old sheets out. It's just a little longer. So I'd probably just bite the bullet on the smell and take the diaper.
And I have another baby question, because I know you have two children now, right?
Yes, two. Yep.
Okay, and there's how old is your youngest, your little baby?
He's 5 months old now.
Oh, okay. So he's eating baby food. So which baby food is? You know, we all taste it at one time or another.
I'm sorry. I think you cut out just on the very end of that.
Which baby food is your favorite?
I've never eaten any of his baby food. Right now we're feeding him more like mushed up bananas and applesauce, like regular applesauce. So I could go with either one of those, but the actual baby food itself, I've never gotten up the guts to try to taste that.
I know. I used to taste it because I thought if I'm going to feed this to my child, I better taste it. And that can be pretty scary. Okay, finally, did you ever see the movie Young Frankenstein?
I did.
I'm going to ask you a question. The mention of what name caused horses to whinny?
I do not remember that. It's been a long time. Barely remember the movie.
Okay, that would be Frau Blücher. Well, Danny, it's been fantastic having you on the show, and I hope that people will go find you on social media and also on your websites. And I'm looking forward to seeing what else you come up with. I know there's some great covers in because of you. Please, I'll be in touch with you soon because I'm going to have you do another cover in my series. So thank you.
Oh, great.
Thank you.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
All right. Well, thank you, Danny. Have a great day.
All right, you too. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.